You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
You see, these young guys, you just can't give them any sort of compliment. It goes right to their heads, and they start thinking that they're God's gift, right? Alex did a good job with the top four at four yesterday. It's like, okay, we're going to give you the top four and the top five today. He's walking around, hears his chest popped out like he's some big shot or something. His first thing he does is a big screw-up, hits the wrong button. It's the wrong intro music.
I got too cocky.
I'm gonna start the show with the Rocky Chop report.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, yeah, of course. Wow. Okay.
What else would you start the show
with? Alex, one step at a time, please. Just slow your roll a little bit. You're not Jim Rome just yet, okay? Okay, Cowherd. Just pump the brakes a little bit. These young guys, man. Can
Love
you believe that? All right. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey with you. Alex with me, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Big day as Jeremy Pruitt meets with his interrogators today. I'm picturing like he's in a very dark cinder block room, a metal table in front of him. He's on a stool with a rickety light hanging by a string shining on him. A couple of guys in black suits smoking cigarettes, taking turns. Okay, so maybe that's just in my head. Probably much more.
I think it's got to be more like office space. Like so,
meeting with the Bobs.
What do you do here?
What exactly is it you do here? I'm a people person. All right, Trey. The people want to know what is the latest? What is happening on campus as we speak?
Oh, not much going on in the offices today. Not a lot of coaches around the facility, I was told. Don't know the specific time that they were getting with Pruitt today, but told by multiple people that it was going to be today, and if they have to push it in further, they would tomorrow as well. So that's kind of what's going on right now. It's more or less of a waiting game, and I think everybody's been waiting long enough. What the hell is another 24, 48 hours going to do? So,
yeah, it doesn't seem like we're likely to get resolution today. But
no.
I think tomorrow we start, and I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but I think we'll start having that head on a swivel type feeling. It's like, man, when are we going to know something? And we'll enter that it could come down at any minute type of mentality. And what it is, a firing, nothing, he's coming back, or some sort of negotiated buyout. I mean, I think that remains to be seen as well. So you can take a deep breath, because we might be entering Tennessee football coaching search time at any moment here in the next 24 hours to whenever.
Hard to play devil's advocate. Could be getting ready for the start of the 2021 season.
Well, yeah, that's what. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely you talking about with Pruitt.
Yeah,
as the head coach. I mean, I can't. I don't think you can discount that at all.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. And I understand Niedermeyer had his sit down with the Bobs yesterday.
Multiple people are reporting that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not comfortable in reporting that right now, but other people have. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll see what happens, man. You know what? I was thinking on my way over here. The damage this whole fiasco, and not just this, the investigation, but the season, the entire Pruitt era, the Shiano incident, the entire 2017 season, Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, Dave Hart, John Kurt, like the damage that all of this has done over the years to Tennessee's reputation is so disappointing, because it wasn't always like this. Like, we have these national guys come on and we giggle about what a train wreck it is, and, oh, what does this look like from the outside, and that kind of thing, and, oh, man, the revolving door, and it's so dysfunctional, and it's so – and that's just become the commonplace view of Tennessee right now throughout the college football universe. And it wasn't always like this. In fact, it used to be the exact opposite. But – they've taken a good and proud name and just completely drug it through the mud to the point that it's virtually unrecognizable. And it breaks my heart, man, when we have these national guys on. Josh Pate, we have our buddy Bromberg on today, Barrett Salee, all the folks we have on, Torres, all of them. And we giggle about what a dumpster fire her program has become. And, like, we're not laughing. Look, at a certain point, all you can do is laugh. You got to laugh to keep from crying, right? Because it's half tragedy, half comedy, what it's devolved into. But we talk about the turnover, the instability, the chaos behind the scenes. And it wasn't always like this, man. When Coach Fulmer had it rolling back in the day, it was the exact opposite, man. It was one of the things that you always heard when people were praising Tennessee and was remarking on their consistency and how stable it was here. That was like one of Fulmer's main selling points in recruiting throughout the 90s and early 2000s, was kids wanted to come here because they knew who their coach was going to be, who their coaches were going to be. We ran the same offensive system here for like almost 30 years. The Fulmer, Cutcliffe, Sanders system that was installed by Al Saunders like in the early 1980s. It was basically the same system, same terminology. It's a pro-style offense that it didn't change for almost until Cutcliffe left the second time in 2007 and they brought in Dave Clawson. We ran the same offense basically from, I'm not sure what year it was, 82 or 83, till 2007. John Chavis was the defensive coordinator for basically the entire Fulmer era, except for like the first year or two. The assistant coaches rarely turned over. We were a model of stability, a rock. We were basically what Clemson has become under Dabo. That's what you always hear about Dabo. Oh, rarely turnover coaches there. It's the same guys year in, year out. Brent Venables been there forever. He could have left for a head coaching job. Now he just likes it at Clemson. He's their Chavis. The offensive coaches have basically remained the same. That's what we used to be, man. So, as we move on from Jeremy Pruitt, and I'm just going to try and speak it into existence. I'm committing to this 100%. Well, maybe not 100%. You got to leave 10% room for doubt, just so you can get your heart broken, I guess. But as we move on, we all know they have to get it right this time. Bear, they have to find a coach that can reestablish a winning culture and be here for a long, no, it had to be 17 years like Fulmer or whatever it was, but it's got to be longer than 3 or 4 years like the last couple of guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you look, it's just across the board from the pros to college to high school. The programs that have the kind of stability we had here, like what you were talking about, are typically the more successful programs year in and year out. I believe Majors, it brought Saunders in, I think it was like 83 when he finally just went out and he brought in all those quarterbacks in the early 80s, Tony Robinson and that whole group. Troy Hill was one of them out of Texas. or a bunch of them, and then we rolled after that once they got it up and going. I'd forgotten that. I always forget that Chavis wasn't the DC for that first year or two when Fulmer took over. Yeah, I don't know. I guess what worries me more than anything, if they do decide that Pruitt's got to go, is I'm afraid that I'm convinced that they'll make another bad hire, and we'll be right back here in 3 years.
Well, I'm not convinced of it. I'm afraid of it as well, but I'm trying not to dismiss anybody out of hand, because I think that the odds that it will end up being Kevin Steele or Doug Marrone or someone of that ilk are pretty high. And
that's a 3-year hire at best. I mean, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
you might be wrong. You might be crazy, but Bear, you might just be the lunatic we're looking for. By the way, Tony Vitello coming up in our 5 o'clock hour tonight. He'll be playing Jam or Not a Jam with us. Always looking forward to that. Saw an interesting recruiting post today from basketball at SEC_CRNA. Want to give credit where credit's due. Twitter follower said, and they tagged Vol Football and Philip Fulmer in this. "This is a problem," the subject says, and it's a graphic from 24/7 Sports. The top 10 in-state recruits, the state of Tennessee, for the 2021 signing class, the one that wraps up, I guess, with the late signing period in February, the one that we just put together. Top 10 recruits. Number one, Jake Brenningstuhl, Junior Colson, Prince Colley, Andre Turrentine, Dietrich Pennington, Hudson Wolf, Eli Sutton, Quentin Barnes, Walker Merrill, and Adonai Mitchell. Those are the top 10 players, in-state prospects this year, according to 24/7 Sports. We signed one. The ninth kid on the list, Walker Merrill. We signed one. Had Hudson Wolf committed for a couple of months, but of course he bailed and signed with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, number 6 player in the class. Top 10 in-state recruits, we signed one.
I mean, with as horrible as our linebacking and anemic as our linebacking room is, how do you not? I mean, did they even try and recruit Prince Colley?
No, not hard. He went to Notre Dame, man. Pruitt didn't think we need him, and that just look. I'm not gonna nitpick on individual players, but you can't tell me that we should be signing more than one guy. And I just think, I said this on social media this morning, I think we make this recruiting deal, we make it too hard. We make it sound harder than it is. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not. I get it. And I know that it's a cesspool and you got to be willing to work in the gray areas. I'm not naive here. But I'm convinced that if a competent coach, you sign the lion's share of your in-state prospects. Everybody's talking about how this next class, 2022, is such a great in-state year. This past year was plenty good, man. This state has been pumping out a dozen or so Power 5 prospects every year for at least 10 years now. And out of that dozen or so, two or three are always elite. Like big-time, like NFL guys. And if we just have a guy that can recruit the in-state players, and Butch Jones had by far the most success of anybody since Fulmer with this, and he wasn't killing it. He wasn't getting everybody. He didn't build a fence around the state. But if dumbass Butch Jones can make a living in-state, then surely Jeremy Pruitt should have been able to, but he's been a miserable failure. Dooley wasn't good enough. You just have to – look, Trey, if we're going to be an 8-4 program, and that's just who we are until Nick Saban retires, I won't be happy about it, but I could live with it a lot easier if we were at least keeping the lion's share of in-state talent at home. I know Alabama, Clemson are going to come in and cherry pick a guy or two. But even when this year we were 3-7, if we signed 5 or 6 of those players I just listed, I would be a lot more optimistic about the future than I am when we only sign one and it's the 9th guy on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's something that Tennessee, you know, the Butch Jones thing, you know, that it was the big campaign, you know, lock up the state, you know, billboards all around, even in the mid-state when I was living there for a time being. Every time you drove, you know, towards Franklin or I-65 South, there was always a billboard there. They took pride in it, in a sense. I think Tennessee has got to get back to that. I think, you know, and I don't know if they're trying is maybe the wrong word, but a guy like Prince Colley, Prince Colley would have committed to Tennessee and came here
yep.
if they would have just gone after him. I mean, I know that for a fact. So the reasoning behind not attacking him, but then let's just say going after an Aaron Willis, who I think Prince Colley is, just looking at tape, is a little bit better linebacker than Aaron Willis. So what's the point in not getting a guy in your so-called backyard, but going north to grab one? Well, why not do the right thing?
You make a good point, though. I think Aaron Willis is a good prospect, and he might be better than – listen, that's not my forte, deciding which high school prospect is better. But my point is he's in your backyard. He's at Davy Crockett High School. Like, where is that, Alex? That's like an hour north of here?
That sounds right. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it's up near the Tri.
If you sign these kids, first of all, they're good players. They can play, man. You're going to tell me that Notre Dame, who was in the college football playoff this year and has played for national championship, like been a fine program.
Yeah,
they've been a very good program the last 10 years. That Jeremy Pruitt knows something that Brian Kelly doesn't know? Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? That's stupid, man. The same thing happened last year with Woody Washington, a 4-star cornerback from Murfreesboro, who had that we had an excellent chance to sign, and Jeremy Pruitt didn't think he could play. So we didn't pursue him vigorously. Well, guess what? He went to Oklahoma. He started in the Cotton Bowl. They blew out Florida. You might have seen it. Jeremy Pruitt's been
Boston the same thing.
He's been a recruiting disaster, man. So just sort of to tie it all in, boys, as we move forward, I would love for a dynamo like a Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin to come in here. If we can't have that, I think we invest too much in the personality. We had a caller yesterday say, well, who's that guy? Like, that, his name don't pop. Nobody knows who that – I think that stuff is overrated, personally. If you get a – and I don't care if it's Doug Marrone or Kevin Steele or whoever. You give me a competent coach, somebody who's organized, somebody who has an eye for talent, somebody who won't alienate everybody around him, including these in-state prospects, the recruits, their families, their high school coaches, and all that stuff. Give me a competent head coach who can sign, who can recruit in-state and keep Tennessee kids at home. I guarantee you we will have at least as good a result as we enjoyed in the Butch Jones era. At least. I seriously, that is the floor, man. When you're keeping the Derek Barnetts, the Jalen Hurds, the Josh Malones, the Tiny Richardsons, the Trey Smiths, when you're keeping those kids, we've been pumping players out like that. There are players like that every single year in this state, including this year. That Brenningstuhl kid who goes to Clemson, he can be a great player, man. Junior Colson going to Michigan, he'll be a great player. I bet you Prince Colley is going to be a great player. We pump out kids like that every single year. And if we can just get a competent coach, produce some consistency, and we get those kids for 4 years, we'll have a better program. Will it be a championship program? I don't know. Is it going to be good enough to beat Nick Saban? Probably not. Nobody's going to beat Nick Saban. He's the best coach in the history of the game, man. We're all waiting on him to retire or die. He's in great health, as Johnny Sack said about Carmine Lupertazzi to Tony Soprano in the car. Under, he's in great health. I'm not advocating we put a hit out on Saban, but I'm just saying we're waiting.
I mean, Fulmer, when he started slipping, it was the same kind of thing. And he can rewrite history, and then they can claim that Harrison was Catholic and all that. Fulmer didn't offer Harrison Smith until after Alabama and Notre Dame came after him hard.
Randall Cobb.
And he ended up going to Notre Dame. Randall Cobb, Tyson Clabo, Patrick Willis. I mean, there was, huge misses in state. Alabama's won national championships on the backs of Tennessee kids. I mean, they have. Everybody acts like Tennessee doesn't have good players.
Yeah.
They have.
Yeah, don't buy that, man. How many
linebackers out of Oklahoma, Tennessee ended up going down and playing for Bama?
And people tell, oh, it's a hard job. You don't have the recruiting. But bull, you know what.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Yeah, it's not Florida. It's not Texas. It's not California. We get that. A competent head coach who puts the time and effort to barnstorm the state, build relationships with the key people in the state, not just the high school coaches, but I'm talking about the Buck Fitzgeralds, the Aaron Haydens of the world, the people that you got to know, the Vols that are all over this place, all over this state. Marlon Walls, you build your relationship with, like Rick Barnes is doing with Bobby Mays. Bobby Mays didn't play for Rick Barnes. Guess what? Barnes is a smart guy. He sees the potential there. And we're starting a pipeline.
Uses that.
We're starting a pipeline, yes. Man. We get a coach in here. And are you going to tell me Rick Barnes is the most exciting guy in the world, the jump off the page recruiter, the flashiest dude in the world? You're going to compare Rick Barnes to Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin? He's not Captain Charisma. He's just a smart guy and a hard worker. That's all we need.
He develops his players.
That's what we need, man. That's what we need. We also need Nick Saban to hang it up and go do television or something. But anyway, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. 546-8200. We open up the phone lines here. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Travis the Negaball says, after Steel flops, are we going to go after Mel Tucker and complete Phil's list? It's a good one. It's a good one, Travis.
He's usually good for a laugh, old Travis.
Where do you think Coach Fulmer is in all this today, Trey?
Probably hanging out at the office, trying to see if he could plant bugs inside the room, or maybe he's in the room.
Dante Hightower from Lewisburg, Tennessee.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of them, man. You know, it's disheartening.
Who's old boy who went to Ohio State?
Master T could play when the dude got hurt. In their game, which was a big turning point, by the way. Probably.
You talking about the DB from the Chattanooga area?
No, Master Teague, their running back, who was featured once.
I heard you. I know that. I thought he was
talking about Von Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Von Bell and Master Teague, yeah.
Brian says, preach, this state is producing. Look at how many kids have been balling out in the college playoffs the last 5 or 6 years. We see it every year.
T. Higgins.
I'm tired of these people telling me that Tennessee's such a hard job.
Yeah, I mean, T. Higgins starring for the Cincinnati Bengals before his quarterback got killed. That was a kid that Butch Jones thought it'd be a good idea to,
We could probably fill out a roster of guys that got away, like people who were either from Tennessee or had Tennessee ties. You start with Trevor Lawrence.
I'm so glad he's going to the NFL so I don't have to see that stupid picture of him in the Peyton Manning jersey.
I mean, hell, Trevor Lawrence, Amari Rogers, T. Higgins, Travis Etienne. There's four right there.
Was Etienne? He's from Louisiana, isn't he?
Etienne at some point. I know Tennessee recruited him. So, Outside of that, I mean, hell, go to the coaching staff. That damn, you know, one of the years they won the national championship, they had Dan Brooks and Marion Hobby.
How about the kid, was it Guillermo, who started at center for them from Maryville for like 4 years that we didn't recruit? Like, yeah, we don't need him.
Yeah.
That might have gone back to Lane Kiffin ignoring him, but, I mean, that was a while ago. Yeah, he only started for 4 years for a team that won a couple of natties. A three-star kid from Maryville. Nah.
Isn't Trey Knox doing things at Auburn?
Trey Knox, well, he's at Arkansas. He had a
Arkansas. My fault. Yeah.
He played a lot as a freshman. Didn't have a huge impact this year.
Right. I mean, you can we'll go back 15 years. I mean, Harrison Smith's one of the best safeties in the NFL. He balled out for Notre Dame. I mean, it's just. You have to laugh. If not, you're just going to cry.
We laugh. We can cry. We can get angry about it. But we have, at the end of the day, we have to get it right. And I don't know who, if from a standpoint of locking down the state and getting a bunch of recruits, who, and y'all can laugh and get mad at this, but Kevin Steele is probably going to be one of the better candidates, especially if Rodney Garner is by his side to do that. Not saying I want him to be the head coach here. And maybe he can do that from the defensive side of the ball, either as a coordinator or a position coach. But, again, that would be a major selling point for Hugh Freeze. I mean, you know that he would barnstorm the state and make those connections and make it a priority.
Get Hugh Freeze as head coach and let him bring in his offensive staff. And I'd be fine with Kevin Steele as DC and Rodney Garner is defensive line coach, recruiting coordinator, and
that is not going to happen.
Probably not. But we can always, you know, live in our hopes and
fantasize a little.
Fears. Yeah.
Oh man, it would be so good. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Jeff in Seymour leads us off. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I tell you what, when you look at when it comes to football recruiting, you've got to protect your own house. I mean, that's the first thing you got to do. And you're naming off all these people. It's amazing how these guys have just been let go. But when you really look at it, look who's been trying to recruit them these last 10 years. You got Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Pruitt. It's no wonder they're wanting to go to other places.
Yeah, and we've got to have some stability. We've got to have guys on this staff that know the state, that have those relationships. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is there's just so much turnover. And we say, okay, well, this guy's going to be our guy in Memphis. This guy's going to be our guy in the mid-state. This guy's going to be our guy. And it changes every 2 years.
Well, like you mentioned, Kevin Steele, that's a good start. But they're going to have to get somebody in here that can bring these players in, because you know what? Until they do, it's just going to continue every year. We're just going to continue to lose good players. And the thing about this state now is, it used to be that, we were okay putting out football players, but now we're really putting out some good players. And it's amazing how we just don't get them.
I mean, we've got to stop talking about, back in the 90s, you know, because it's ancient history, but it's just unthinkable that you'd have, first of all, that you'd even have this many players, but secondly, that they would all be leaving the state consistently. They'd be coming to Tennessee to play for Johnny Majors and Philip Fulmer, but those days are long gone right now.
Well, one thing you forget, thanks to Tennessee, it's helped Clemson win some national championships, thanks to our players.
I tell you, Freeze would kill it here, man. He'd be living in the top five. I tell you what would happen. You hire Hugh Freeze, he kicks Dabo Swinney to the curb. Dabo dies on the vine because all those players that he's been getting out, as they start coming to Knoxville and we start winning big and we basically trade places again. That's what's going to happen if you hire him.
I've been hearing the Bruce Pearl analogy where you know, he wasn't. He was known as a snitch, but they didn't. They didn't care. They brought him in, and then he had success here. You know what? At this point, with Hugh Freeze, same deal. You know, he's been a known champ. He's, you know, he's been known as sleazy, but who cares? The guy's a winner. Wherever he goes, he's going to win. So hey, I mean, everybody else is and everybody else they're cheating. So why not just come out and join the crowd like everybody else?
You just, I will say what I said before we hired Pruitt. I want to be doing what everybody else is doing. I just want to be on a level playing field. It doesn't mean I want to cheat all the time or anything like that, but I don't want to lose a player. If a player just likes Alabama better than Tennessee, if he just really wants to play for Nick Saban, there's nothing you can do about that, man. But you hear whispers of, well, this player left the state because he got this kind of bag dropped off on him or whatever, that's a kick in the teeth.
Well, what's ironic, Russell, is what's funny is we've been cheating. And think about it. We've been cheating, and we're still at 3-7. So that tells you what kind of cheaters they are.
Oh, man. If this Pruitt guy ends up in front of the NCAA like Lane Kiffin did all those years ago and has to explain violations that they committed to get some of the players that they got here, and all he had to show for it was 15-19 or whatever his miserable record is. That's just,
hey, only in Tennessee, Russell, only in Tennessee. Guys, y'all have a wonderful day.
I mean, at least Hugh Freeze had a little something to show for it. The NCAA asked Ole Miss, was Hugh Freeze cheating? Like, darn right he was cheating. We beat Alabama twice. We won the Sugar Bowl. It was awesome. Leave us. What do you want from us? I hope we weren't cheating. I hope we haven't been cheating the past 3 years. If we have been, we've been doing it wrong. Willie is next.
Actually, we've got Jay first.
Jay is next on the drive. Hello, Jay.
Now, Russell, don't be trying to skip over me, brother, all right?
I'm going to skip you, Jay.
Okay.
Trust me, if I'm going to skip anybody, it's going to be Willie. I'm just kidding. Hang tight, Willie.
Russell, you're speaking a lot of truth here and with what you're saying about these in-state recruits. And I think a lot of where that comes from is it's from the national media a lot of the times, and they don't realize that the 90s are over because that used to be the narrative in the 90s. And, you know, Fulmer just doesn't have a lot of in-state talent, at least skill players. He could get a lot of linemen, but the skill players and stuff. But that's not the case anymore in this state. And Tennessee's a state much akin to, like, an Ohio or a Virginia where you're not Georgia or Florida or Texas, but you can go most years and get you 9 to 12 pretty solid players, really good Division I high major players, if you recruit it the right way, and then cherry pick from the other states. And
you know, we say that Fulmer didn't have this luxury, but go, you know, I'm just sitting here going through the 98 team in my head. Well, Eric Westmoreland, Al Wilson, Jermaine Copeland, yeah. Travis Stevens, David Leverton, some good players.
You know,
Spencer Riley, good players.
All the linemen.
Oh, yeah.
Chad Clifton.
You know where I think a lot of it, we get compared to Georgia and Florida because we're so close to them and they're our rivals. Like, newsflash, man, nobody in the country produces talent like those two states.
Yeah.
Well, Tennessee doesn't produce the talent that Georgia does. Yeah, so does, like, 47 other states don't either. Why are you holding it against us?
Maybe not in quantum. To me, it's we have at the top, we're pretty close in quality. It's just where they get us is just the massive quantity.
Yeah,
of players that they produce down there. But, you know, as far as like the top end, I mean, I've put Tennessee kids up against any of their better kids. I mean, they're playing in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't remember who it was on Twitter pointing out Dante Hightower's a Tennessee kid. We always have.
Well,
and
what about Patrick Willis?
That was a big
mess. Yeah, Patrick Willis coming out of high school, he was a three-star. He had a teammate, I cannot remember his name, who he signed, was a five-star, and that's who Fulmer took. And he ended up doing nothing here. And then Patrick Willis went on to be, you know, he retired, a lot of people would say prematurely from the NFL.
Yeah.
For while he was in the NFL, he was the best linebacker in the NFL.
Now, Willis, though, he was a lot of schools missed on him, to be fair. I mean, he was out of Brewston, Tennessee, which is out in the middle of absolute nowhere. Chavis thought he was too big to be a linebacker. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, none of those schools recruited him. And that happens every now and then. You know, there are guys that – Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State. I mean, every now and then you're just going to miss. Like, that's why I say get the lion's share of these recruits, because you can't get them all.
Yeah, and they started having way too many misses, you know.
He came through with a broken arm and ate us up.
Oh, I remember that. Wow.
Had a cast. You remember that game?
Yeah.
Had a cast on his arm.
God, what year was that? That would have been in the – was that the year Ogeron was coaching there?
No, I thought Cutcliffe was. I was younger, but I just remember seeing a linebacker with a cast on his arm that ran faster than our receivers.
Oh, Patrick Willis was the truth, man. He could play.
It was insane,
Chris Donald who they chose over Willis. Thank you, yeah. Uncle Bobo on Twitter.
So, but – Russ, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you. And I tell you guys a job that's going to be hard to get back to championship relevance, and that's Nebraska.
They're saying the same thing about us, man. I mean, we're Tennessee, Nebraska, and Michigan. We had our friend Bill Bender from the Sporting News. He called them museum jobs.
Yeah.
And it hurts, but it's the truth. I mean, that's why I say we got to stop talking about back in the day in the 90s. That's ancient history. Like that, I think that's part of the attitude that is holding us back. And we don't necessarily need a Tennessee guy, unquote. I mean, it would be nice and make us feel better. We need somebody who can win. We need a winner.
Well, the one reason why I would disagree with him in terms of Nebraska is Nebraska is out in the middle of nowhere. They don't produce any talent, and they're surrounded by states that don't produce any talent. And they're going to have to convince the top kids from the South and Texas and California to come to Lincoln, Nebraska. That's a much harder sell to me. And I think that's why they're going to struggle. Because college football has changed since when they had certain advantages. They don't have those advantages anymore. They're, you know, everybody's on TV. Everybody has nice facilities. I think Nebraska is really going to struggle to get back.
Yeah. Good stuff, Jay. Anything else?
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Let's squeeze Willie in. What up, Willie?
Guys, what kind of a damn fool
is
this hiring Rodney Garner?
I'm sorry, what? What about Rodney Garner?
I said, what kind of a damn fool would say publicly they're against us hiring Rodney Garner?
I don't know. Who said that?
Oh, we got one over here on the snooze machine just now said it. Said they were trying to get Rodney Garner, and he's against it.
Bear, what do you think it's Willie's snooze machine update? Are you fired up for this?
Yeah, I always, you know, enjoy some good interstation bashing and rivalries.
Oh, he's got to be the dumbest guy on the Knoxville airwaves, and he cheers for LSU. That's a hint for you.
Oh, come on, Willie. You don't have to get personal like that. Good guys over there.
He's an idiot. He obviously doesn't want Tennessee to win. Anybody say something like that is just a damn fool.
What is his reason again for not wanting Rodney Garner here?
I don't know. I was at the driver's license. As soon as he said that, I hung up.
Oh, man. You got to get a new license, Willie?
An upgraded one.
You get that all-purpose ID. We got to have a new ID to fly starting in, like, later this year, right?
Hey, there was some nut out there, and he was obviously mentally deranged out there trying to get an ID. Said he had to be able to get on an airplane. He was abusing the ladies out there.
Oh, no.
He was belligerent. And I know one thing. I wouldn't want to get on an ID with that guy. I mean, on an airplane with that guy.
Yeah, you'd end up on YouTube. A couple of guys were screaming.
I'm going to wind up in a bunch of little pieces in the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, dear.
That would not be good.
Oh, dear.
Damn.
Hey, but get Hugh Freeze in there as head coach. Let Kevin Steele run defense. Rodney Garner, get out here and buy our players for us. Hey, we'll be rolling.
You sold me, Willie.
Go Big Orange.
Of course, I was already on board. How fun would that be, man? Goofy Hugh Freeze running our program, putting up 50 burgers on people. Kevin Steele and Rodney Garner running the defense, getting the Croots in here. Five-star Central. How much fun would it be, Bear? Can we have fun? I want to have fun. Trey,
it'd be nice. I mean, I could deal with, you know, a number of guys. If you're telling me that Steele and Garner are, you know, going to be the core of our defensive, our defensive staff and recruiting, I'd be down with that.
Trey, did you have fun covering a 3-7 team this year?
No, I'd really like to cover a championship football team before I retire one day.
Hey, my expectations are so beaten down. Like, if you tell me we'll just have a nice 8-4 program, and maybe every now and then we'll have a 9 or 10 win season, and maybe we get to go to a Sugar Bowl sometime the next day. I'm not even talking about the college football playoff. Like, I would seriously take that at this point.
I mean, I was jealous of my buddies. I got to go cover, you know, they're on the reporting beat. Got to go cover Florida and Atlanta. I mean, I'm sorry, Alabama and Atlanta. And then got to go to, you know, Dallas for the Cotton Bowl and travel with Bama. All damn.
Well, fine. Go cover like Bama then, Trey Wallace. If that's what you want, go cover Bama.
Go back to Hoover with Jeremy. Go on, get.
Stay with us. The Drive rages on. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Jeff on Twitter asks, what would Dave Hart do in a time like this? You have this revisionist history. These people who want to give Dave Hart all the credit for hiring Rick Barnes, which... fair enough. I'll give him credit. It fell in his lap, but he still had to pull the trigger on it. I'll say, here's what Dave Hart would do. First of all, we don't know what Dave Hart would do because Dave Hart is such a genius. He's so much smarter than all the rest of us.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
But the first thing Dave Hart would do, you can bet this, Dave Hart hop on the first plane to Stillwater and make sure he gets his boy Mike Gundy another big raise, courtesy of the University of Tennessee. That'd be the first thing. Let Gundy trick him into thinking he's actually going to take the job again. Second thing Dave Hart would do is he'd hire a search firm, get a couple lawyers, a couple grand, line their pockets a little bit because it's not his money. And then he would hire, Dave Hart would hire Troy Calhoun or whoever the search firm told him to. I don't know. What is Dave Hart doing? Before any of that, though, he would definitely go by his local pharmacy, perhaps National RX out in Farragut, and pick up new box of Just for Men. You got to have a fresh coat, man. When you're in your mid-60s and you're on college campus, you're around young people, you don't think you're some creepy old guy, right? You want to blend in. And what's more natural looking than a 60-year-old guy with jet black hair?
Bama to die job.
Where's he at now? We know
Shady Acres Rest Home, isn't he? He's not doing anything. He's retired.
I know, because I know Mike Hamilton works for IMG Learfield Sports Network. So I was wondering what Dave Hart was doing.
Hammy's working for. I thought Hamilton was working for that nonprofit. It's called Bloodwater.
No, but he took a job at IMG Learfield. Huh. Audio sales or something like that. I'm not talking like car radios. I'm talking.
Mike Hamilton's out there beating the bushes, doing a sales job. I kind of like that. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? Hamilton.
You're out there and get your nose bloodied, Hambo.
I mean, apart from being a horrible athletic director, he's a hell of a guy.
Sure.
Really nice. I mean, fantastic person.
Yeah.
I go back to that night, man. I couldn't imagine what was going through his head having to get from Colorado back to Knoxville when Lane was leaving, then having to drop his plane in Nashville, and then having to drive to Knoxville knowing that all hell was breaking loose that night. That story just blows my mind.
All right, so coming up, Alex Olive makes his return appearance in the top four at four. Are you prepared, Alex?
I'm prepared. I'm getting the stories lined up. Got it ready to go.
Okay. AO, coming up next, your top four at four right here on The Drive. More Fan Run Radio on the way.